Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. on a Thursday. I'm making up for lost time. I missed a couple days due to the Passover holiday. I was in Nashville, Tennessee with my family. So I got two makeup days. One is today, and then next week I'll be on the air Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Which is good, because we have a lot to talk about. Yesterday, I tried to raise the topic of the sexism and the presidential race, specifically the comments that Donald Trump made about Hillary Clinton that we'll play for you in just a bit. And a lot of you called in, and unfortunately, given that we only have an hour, a bunch of you, Mary in Albuquerque and Noah in Phoenix and Annette and Nick in California, I didn't get to you. Which I hate. So I'm going to encourage everyone to call in early at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Dirty little secret about talk radio is if you call in early, you're much more likely to be put on the air than if you call at the last minute. It's funny because people usually wait to the last minute to call because that's when the discussion's getting good, and then they never get on. So I want to encourage you, not certainly if you called yesterday, we'll give you first priority, but even if you didn't call in yet, I want to talk about the sexism in the race. Let's play the infamous Trump audio clip.
Excuse me?
Well, I think the only card she has is the woman's card. She's got nothing else going. And frankly, if Hillary Clinton were a man, I don't think she'd get 5% of the vote. The only thing she's got going is the woman's card. And the beautiful thing is, women don't like her, okay? And look how well I did with women tonight, okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
The only thing she's got going, Donald Trump referring to Hillary Clinton, the only thing she's got going is the woman's card. If Hillary Clinton were a man, I don't think she'd get 5% of what she's getting. And, you know, women really like me. I'm Donald Trump. Well, we know the last sentence is certainly not true. Yes, Republican women have been voting on occasion for Donald Trump, but among all women, his disapproval ratings, all American women, are about 66%. But let's put that aside for now, and let's put aside for a second Donald Trump's obvious crassness and likely misogyny. Let's talk about Hillary Clinton. I tried to do some of this yesterday, and it got into a criticism of Hillary Clinton's views on this, that, or the other. And while you're certainly welcome to do that, and we had many discussions about the Sanders-Clinton race, which, in my opinion, is basically over, but that's not the topic I want to discuss today. I want to look at not just Hillary Clinton, but a general question of sexism in the workplace. I want to know if you have a job, if you're a woman, if you have a job, and you think that people think that a man would do your job better. Or if you're a guy, I want to know about your female coworkers. I want to know whether you think they would do better if they were a man. We know men are paid more than women in the workplace, and I kind of want to know why. Is it because of attitudes like Donald Trump's? I thought it was ridiculous what he said about Hillary Clinton, given that whatever you think of her political views, which, as I admit, as I talked yesterday, are perfectly fair to comment on, not on today's show, but I do think it's fair, obviously, to comment on the views of a political candidate. She clearly has the experience, more experience, frankly, than Barack Obama had when he ran for president. She had more experience than, well, Ted Cruz or Donald Trump or let's see, Mitt Romney, sure, Bob Dole. She had more experience than her husband, who was governor of a smallish state. as a senator from the third largest state in the United States, elected and reelected in New York as a Secretary of State, and yes, even as First Lady. Now, some of you may think that's unfair to bring that up. So, even if we take it off the table, just as Secretary of State, just as Senator from New York, she has loads more experience than Barack Obama, or her husband Bill Clinton, or George W. Bush, or George Herbert Walker Bush. He was Vice President, that's true. But when he ran for president the first time against George Bush, she has more experience than he had. You know, Ronald Reagan was a California governor, certainly didn't have any foreign policy experience. Let's just keep going back. Jimmy Carter was a governor of Georgia. Gerald Ford was a congressman. I mean, to go back to someone with her level of experience, you got to go back really to 1972 or 1968, more than 40 years. So I wonder about the woman card. Has Hillary Clinton overplayed the woman card? She responded, of course, that if the woman card means that she's going to talk about family medical leave and women's health care, well, then deal me in. It's a pretty good line. But I want to talk in general today about sexism in the presidential race, in the workplace. I mean, it's interesting. Ted Cruz just picked Carly Fiorina as his vice presidential running mate. A little bit premature, given that Ted Cruz has no mathematical way of getting a majority of the delegates. He can only win if Donald Trump fails to get a majority, and then he somehow rallies all the majority of the contested convention. So it's a little bit premature, but he chose Carly Fiorina. Now, I think it might be fair to say that Carly Fiorina he would not have chosen if she had not been a woman. I think it's fair to say that about Sarah Palin. I'm not saying that the line that Donald Trump gave is never fair. I think, you know, Sarah Palin, who was a mayor of a tiny, tiny town, much, much smaller than, you know, the number of people that I represent in Virginia, and then was a governor of Alaska, a tiny state, for a couple years. I think she was unqualified to be president. I think she was chosen because she's a woman. And Carly Fiorina, a failed CEO from Hewlett-Packard, someone who was fired, hardly a great record. Her only record is of running for California senator and losing big time to a woman who I think would be well qualified to be president, Barbara Boxer, or Dianne Feinstein, for that matter. I'm not saying that it's just Democratic women either. There are Republican women, people like Kay Bailey Hutchinson, the senator from Texas. I don't agree with her views, but I think she'd be qualified to be president. Or you've got the former governor and EPA chairman, Christine Todd Whitman. Very, very good resume. Maybe too moderate for some Republicans. Kay Bailey Hutchinson's a conservative. So there are certainly women that are qualified. But this attack on Hillary Clinton, and there are men that are unqualified too, please don't get me wrong. Dan Quayle comes to mind as a vice presidential nominee who was sorely unqualified to be president. So there are men that are qualified, men that are unqualified, women that are qualified, women that are unqualified. But why do you think Donald Trump brought this up in the campaign? The only thing I can think of is that he thinks it will appeal to a certain chauvinistic male segment. And let's face it, who loves Donald Trump? Mostly middle class, working class, white men, straight, Christian, I guess, or let's just say culturally Christian, people who tend to not like Muslims and immigrants and women and blacks, people who represent the part of society, let's just say, who hates political correctness, because political correctness really means let's give a little bit more power to those who've been left out for so many years. So, broad discussion, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Carly Fiorina, sexism in the workplace, a lot to talk about, and definitely if you called yesterday, I'll give you first priority. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now. at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about sexism and the presidential race, specifically the comments that Donald Trump made about Hillary Clinton, saying that if she were a man, she wouldn't have 5% of the support she has. That isn't the only thing Donald Trump has said about women, of course. In fact, a number of women actors have been asked to repeat some of the choice phrases that Donald Trump has made against women. Let's play that now.
Bimbo.
Dog.
Fat pig.
Real quotes from Donald Trump about women.
A person who is very flat-chested is very hard to be a 10.
I'd look her right in that fat, ugly face of hers.
Look at that face. Would anyone vote for that?
She had the height, she had the beauty. She was crazy, but these are minor details.
I like kids. I mean, I won't do anything to take care of them. I'll supply funds, and she'll take care of the kids.
You know, it really doesn't matter what they write, as long as you've got a young and beautiful piece of ass.
That must be a pretty picture, you dropping to your knees.
There was blood coming out of her eyes. Blood coming out of her... wherever.
Women, you have to treat them like...
This is how Donald Trump talks about our mothers, our sisters,
our daughters.
If you believe America deserves better, vote against Donald Trump.
So there you go. That's an ad featuring real quotes by Donald Trump. Yet he's doing pretty well. He is likely to be the Republican nominee. And so clearly men like some of this stuff. Some men. I don't think a majority of men like some of this stuff. At least I hope not. I certainly don't think a majority of women like this kind of stuff. Let's go to the callers. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Angie in Albuquerque, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Angie. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment on why I think millennials are not buying into the whole sexist thing. It seems there seems to be an age gap, whereas the people of Hillary Clinton's and Donald Trump's age and Bernie Sanders' age, it was a different time when they were coming up, and women had to be extremely tough to make it in a boys' club, and they had to play by the boys' rules. Women now, you know, 30 or under, they've made their own way. And they can be strong as women without having to speak or behave in a way that traditionally was considered the way a man would. And I think that's where a huge disconnect is coming for the millennials towards Hillary Clinton. I think they see her, you know, trying to speak compassionately, but it doesn't resonate with them. It doesn't seem as real as when she speaks about how tough she'll be in wartime.
Okay, let's back up, because I want to understand your point. So you're saying that millennials, men and women, young men and young women, are less sexist than, people in their 70s. But that because Hillary Clinton was raised in an age where there was much more sexism, she seems tougher. I want to get your words right. I don't want to put words in your mouth. She sounds too tough. What are you saying?
Yeah, somehow Hillary Clinton hasn't been able to find, I'm not just talking about Hillary Clinton. This was my mother, this was my grandmother. All the women of that age seem to have this, they have like a dual persona, you know, where they're tough on one hand and compassionate on the other, and they have a hard time meshing the two.
But Angela, let me just push you back a little bit.
For millennial women are very comfortable with the feminine and the masculine within themselves, and they don't see a need to separate the two.
But Angela, look,
they can be tough and compassionate at the same time.
And I'm
has a harder time projecting that.
Well, let me push back a little bit against you. So let's look at President Obama. Isn't he tough yet compassionate? Don't men who are running? Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, seems to me a very compassionate guy and a pretty tough guy, too. Bill Clinton, her husband, seems to me tough and compassionate. I just wonder whether you're holding Hillary to a higher standard than you are these men.
No. You actually just made my point. Men have been able to do that for a long time. Women that were coming up in positions of power, once, you know, not now, but when Hillary Clinton, people like that were coming into power, were forced to only be, you know, show their toughness.
So you don't think she shows her compassionate side? So you're saying she doesn't show her compassionate side enough?
Yeah, I'm saying she has a hard time combining them.
See, I saw Hillary Clinton talk about with the mothers of African American mothers of whose children had been shot dead by a number of bad guys, including some police, some, and I thought it was very compassionate. It almost brought me to tears. Now, admittedly, it wasn't so much Hillary Clinton as it was the mothers and their stories, but she seemed to me extremely compassionate. Where do you think she doesn't seem compassionate to you?
Well, you know, like, just the way that she has spoken about war and, you know, like, for instance, when she was asked again about the Iraq war, and she said, look, I made a mistake, plain and simple. That really bothered a lot of millennials that
yeah.
she said that, because it wasn't plain and simple.
And right, no.
And she may not have felt that way. It may have been a poor choice of words, but she does that often. And she needs to really think about what she's saying more. If that's not what she means, then she shouldn't say it, just like Trump.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So thanks. Maybe she just needs to be more careful in, you know, in how she says things.
Yeah, I mean, I missed that quote. I heard her mostly in the debates, and I thought she came off very well and very compassionate. But again, that's obviously... We all have our different opinions on that.
Yeah, you can Google it.
I believe you. I don't dispute that she said it. I just didn't hear it myself. Thanks for your call, Angie. I appreciate it. Let's go to Phil in Sacramento on line two. Hey, Phil, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon. Listen, I'll admit to you up front that I am a hardcore Bernie Sanders supporter.
Okay.
So, but listening to that ad, if I was, let's say I was running against Hillary Clinton, and I wish Bernie Sanders actually would have done more of it, but what can you say about Donald Trump that you couldn't say about Bill Clinton in the way that he just discards and treats women so shabbily and is enabled and excused by Hillary Clinton like for the last 30 years?
Well, I don't think Donald Trump's and Bill Clinton's, I don't think Bill Clinton has said anything like what those quotes that Donald Trump said.
No, he hasn't said it.
I think Bill Clinton has had dalliances outside of marriage, but, you know, it's funny. I hear more discussion about Bill Clinton's extramarital affairs when Hillary is running than I heard about it when, you know, when he was there. I mean, it just seems to me that to blame her for his mistakes seems, dare I say, sexist? I'll tell you what, Phil, stick on. I'm going to give you a chance to defend yourself. It's Mark Levine, phone number 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back right after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Is it fair to blame Hillary Clinton for her husband's marital indiscretions? Is it fair? Is it true that Jackie Kennedy is a terrible human being and Eleanor Roosevelt an awful person and Mamie Eisenhower just wrong because their husbands all had marital indiscretions? Now, I'm not defending the marital indiscretion per se. I'm asking, is it fair to blame the spouse? It's interesting. Polls show that Bill Clinton is held more favorably than Hillary. I get it. She's running for president now. He's not. And she's being raked over the coals by Republicans. So I get that. But is that a fair comment? You, I mean, criticizing your own policy is one thing, and that's not what I'm talking about right now. Okay? I want to know if it's sexist to blame the wife of a husband who had marital indiscretions. And you know what? I can't even think of an example of where someone blames the husband of a wife who had marital indiscretions. I'm not even sure the marital indiscretions, frankly, are our business. You know, there's all kinds of marriages out there. There's all kinds of couples out there. And I just don't think we should judge other couples based on that. I want to judge Hillary Clinton based on what kind of president she would be. But to blame her for staying as first lady, which, so I just want to understand the argument. The argument is she should have divorced him while he was under impeachment. I just want to get the argument straight. Because he had marital indiscretions, she should have, while he faced impeachment, divorced him and given fire to the Republicans who were trying to remove him from office. That's what some Bernie Sanders supporters are saying? I don't think so. Are they saying she should have divorced him after, even though they made up, and that she shouldn't have accepted his apology? Are you condemning all women who stay with husbands who have cheated on them, or just Hillary Clinton? I really want to understand the argument, and Phil is my punching bag at the moment. Phil from Sacramento, from Line 2, because he raised it. Phil, how far does this argument go?
Well, that's not my argument.
Because, okay, good.
First of all, as far as Roosevelt and Kennedy, nobody knew about that, though.
So the fact that we know about it, that's what matters?
Well, what about the...
We knew about Eleanor Roosevelt. We certainly knew by the time Eleanor Roosevelt in the 1960s was standing up for civil rights and all kinds of things. We knew what Franklin did to her by then. It was common knowledge by then.
But let me ask you this. Did Eleanor Roosevelt engage in a smear campaign against her her husband's mistresses, like Hillary Clinton and Sidney Blumenthal did? They were willing to destroy the life of a 19-year-old girl named Monica Lewinsky to protect Bill Clinton. She, to this day, is a damaged human being. Because
I would say that Monica Lewinsky's name would not even be known to the public if a special prosecutor by the name of Ken Starr, who was hired to look at a Whitewater transaction and couldn't find any damaging information against Bill or Hillary on a land deal in Arkansas, hadn't switched his topic and tried to claim that the president should no longer be president, should be impeached because he had a marital infidelity. Otherwise, he's the one who dragged Monica Lewinsky through the coals. I think to blame Hillary Clinton for the right-wing campaign against the Clintons, okay. I think that's really unfair. I'll just say that.
So let me counter with this then. So Hillary Clinton's top advisor, her husband right now, is a disbarred lawyer. He was disbarred because he committed perjury to a federal judge.
Just so you know, he was not found to have been committed perjury. Perjury is a crime.
Yes, he was.
Not perjury.
The Supreme Court disbarred him.
Well, that's not for perjury.
He was.
There's a difference between perjury. There's a difference between perjury and not telling the full truth. As you recall, he was brought up on perjury. He was brought up on perjury charges in his impeachment. Those were rejected.
Yeah.
Perjury as a criminal offense was rejected. Yes, and as I recall, he voluntarily relinquished his bar license. But again, what does this have to do with Hillary Clinton? Well, I mean, I get it. You hate Bill Clinton. You think that Donald Trump would be a better president because Bill Clinton did something 30 years ago. But what does this have to do with Hillary?
Can I ask you this? If Donald Trump's top advisor was a disbarred lawyer, do you think that would be an issue?
Donald Trump's top advisor was just charged with battery.
Woman.
Look, he's still Donald Trump's top advisor. And I think the fury is passed.
Right.
You know who could really be charged with perjury? I mean, should we go over all the presidential lies that have occurred throughout history? I mean, we could start with George W. Bush.
You are such an apologist for Hillary Clinton.
Okay, all right. I concede that Bill Clinton is not perfect. I do. I concede he's not perfect. I don't think that you should vote for Donald Trump with all his misogyny and hatred and attacks on Muslims and attacks on women and attacks on Mexicans and attacks on everyone, because the husband of his opponent is, you know, is not, it was not perfect. I think that's a pretty strong argument.
Trying to destroy the life of a 19-year-old girl because she had sex with your husband.
I think that's a crazy exaggeration, and but you know what?
No,
I'm sure that's what they say on Fox News. So I don't understand how you could be a Sanders supporter. You should be a Trump supporter. I mean, after all, if although again, Donald Trump has done so much worse than Bill Clinton that you know, I don't know what you're gonna do. I don't know what you're gonna do. I think it's really unfair to blame Hillary Clinton for Bill Clinton's infidelities, but I guess by that standard, you know, Coretta Scott King is a terrible person, and so is Eleanor Roosevelt, and so is Mamie Eisenhower, and so is Jackie Kennedy. They're all just awful, awful, awful human beings. I disagree, Phil, but I appreciate your call. Folks, if you want to call in, I'd like to address this question. Should Hillary Clinton be blamed because Bill Clinton had sex outside of marriage? I think that's sexist. I think that's unfair. 888-48-MARK, 888-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, talking about sexism and presidential politics and the penchant by some, including some who called in broadcast, including some Bernie Sanders supporters, to say that Hillary Clinton is at fault for what Bill Clinton did in their marriage, which I think is unfair. I really do. Let's go to Mick in Santa Fe on line three. Hey, Mick, how are you?
Mark, I'm fine. Thanks for letting me speak here. I just have a few minutes, but when you put the challenge out there on the question, I just wanted to respond. Should Hillary be blamed for Bill Clinton's
marital indiscretions?
Dalliances.
Yes.
Dalliances. Okay?
Dalliances.
And my answer to that is there isn't enough information to know. This kind of question, regardless of what it's about, requires a lot of contextual information that simply isn't available. Now, I'm a very staunch Bernie supporter, but I don't think that the question has anything to do with whether or not Hillary would be or would not be a good president. All right? I just think it's irrelevant.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Bernie Sanders would say the same thing.
I think Bernie Sanders would say the same thing. I agree with you. I don't think he would consider it relevant.
No, I mean, yeah, listen, there are a lot of people out there who are really, really, really disgusted with politics, and that includes Democratic politics, okay? I'm an independent. I've been an independent all my life, but I am so far left of left that I couldn't identify with a conservative. I could never do it. I mean, I would look like a Martian, okay? But a lot of us would just like to have people understand that there is a difference between being a Democrat and being an independent, all right? And that much of Bernie's support is an independency of thought and mind when it comes to political behavior and political action. And a lot of those things are somewhat similar or a lot similar to what some Democrats and some Democratic policy has always advocated and tried to carry out, and some of it isn't.
Okay.
And I think that some of the advocates of Bernie are very charged up.
And that's fine. And listen, I just would prefer that the advocates of Bernie Sanders talk about good things that Bernie Sanders has done, rather than always trying to tear down Hillary. And again, if you're going to tear her down, at least do it on policy. Don't do it on Bill Clinton's marital dalliances.
I absolutely agree with you. Character issues are so very, very difficult because, first of all, they're subjective unless,
right,
you know, somebody has pointed a gun at somebody unjustly and killed them, okay?
I just think those
kinds of these
people live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I mean, you know, half of all marriages in America end in divorce.
Yeah.
Of the marriages stay together, half of them have marital indiscretions. And that's just what
that's
we know about. That's just what we know about.
Yes,
we know
right.
that one quarter of marriages in America, one in four, are at least as we know, are you know, perfect in that sense. You know, three quarters are imperfect. And I you know, she's human, okay? She's not a god. She's not perfect. And if anything, if you're going to throw a stone, throw it at Bill. Just don't throw it at Hillary. That just seems unfair to me. Thanks, Mick, for your call. I appreciate it. Let me go to Gary in Massachusetts on line two. Hey, Gary, how are you?
Hey, Mark. I really appreciate your show. You
Thank
know,
you.
More has to be said about the truth out there, and in terms of, you know, prior sexual history is not even allowed in a court of law for the most part, and people make mistakes. I give Hillary an extraordinary amount of credit for, if you will, forgiving and moving on without, you know, ruining both of their lives and causing a big to-do about this. Apparently, he had dalliances in the past, and that's who he is, but you know something, when you think about this in the big picture, who really had the most successful 8 years as president in the last 10 presidents? And it was without question Bill Clinton.
Yeah, no, in my lifetime, he's the
pardon?
Best president. He's the best president of my lifetime, in my humble opinion. Somebody may disagree with me,
I mean,
but I think he was.
Greatest growth. We had a surplus after he left. I mean, everything was great. And do you think that she might have been in the background giving him advice?
I know
don't
she
you
was.
Think that would turn around so that, pragmatically speaking, if you don't like her, forget that. If you don't like the way she talks, forget it. Think about what is the best thing for this country. Is it a buffoon that's a bully standing up in front of people and picking on people? That man is the least presidential person, I'm talking about Donald Trump,
of course,
of anybody I've ever seen run for anything, even dog catcher. And I would say, you know, why are people following this guy except that he's a celebrity and they want to be with somebody that's, you know, popular on TV or something? I don't get it.
Gary, that's very well put. Look, you know, a lot of people said that they voted for George W. Bush because they'd rather have a beer with him. He seemed like a lot more fun than Al Gore. Al Gore was competent and intelligent and intellectual, and sure, he'd make a great president and he would vote their way, but he just wasn't a lot of fun. I mean, you can imagine he's probably a stiff dancer. He probably doesn't ever put a lampshade on his head. I doubt he stands on the table and sings karaoke, whereas I suspect George W. Bush does some of those things.
He was a fun guy to party with in the college days.
Well, my point is this. My point is this. Right. Well, when we're voting for president.
About this, but in the Middle East, over two wars that we should never have entered.
Exactly.
That have lost kids because of George Bush.
Exactly. Well, that's my point. You're not voting for best buddy. You're not voting for saint. You're not voting for pope. You're voting for president of the United States. And I dare say that George W. Bush probably was, I will concede, that George W. Bush was probably more fun at parties than Al Gore. But he was a lousy president, and Al Gore would have been a great president. And let's stop saying that we should judge a president based on the quality of their marriage, and instead say let's judge a president based on the quality of her or his policies and judgment and knowledge and intelligence. I mean, that's what I want as a president. I can imagine lots of people with perfect marriages, and God knows Donald Trump isn't one of those, but I can imagine Ted Cruz, for all, well, no, that's not true, actually, based on the Inquirer article, that maybe he doesn't have a perfect marriage either. Let's Jeb Bush, for all I know, has a perfect marriage. Okay, I don't know anything negative about Jeb Bush's marriage.
On the back page, not the back page, but tucked down in the paper somewhere, the day before Super Tuesday, this most recent five-state election. There was a little article that said that a judge has said, okay, we can move forward with the lawsuits now against Donald Trump for Trump University.
Right, now, I did see that.
If there's someone with any less credibility and
character judgment
than that guy,
exactly.
I would like to meet him, but I don't think there is, because he built people out of $45,000 to go to a make-believe school that had his name on it, and he's going to be brought to justice, and watch what happens.
Thanks for your call, Gary. I appreciate it. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. So he's absolutely right, folks. We're voting for a president. We're not voting for a frat buddy. We're not voting for a saint. We're not voting for someone who can lead her church in morality. We're voting for a president. And as I said, I don't, as far as I know, Jeb Bush has never been unfaithful to his wife. I think he'd make a lousy president. So please, I think that should be the focus. Let's go to Reggie in Georgia on line one. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Happy Thursday to you, Mark Levine.
Happy Thursday.
I just wanted to say this. Why is it that, what would have happened had Hillary Clinton said the exact same thing about Donald Trump, accusing him of pulling the masculine...
The man's card.
Yeah, the man's card. You know what would happen? All hell would have frozen over or broken loose. The whole entire would have opened up.
So let's think about how
her for doing that.
Let's think about how this would have been said. Let's just frame it. Let's just say it. So if Donald Trump were a woman, he wouldn't get 5% of the vote that he's gotten. All he has is the man's card, and he keeps playing the man's card. And actually, men like me, Hillary Clinton, very much. You're right. She'd seem like an idiot. just saying it, just framing it, saying it out loud. It's like, well, that would be an idiotic thing to say.
Yes, and like I said, Fox News would have jumped all over her. In fact, they would have been the very first network to do so.
I'm sure.
You have people like Sean Hannity saying, is her screaming hurting her or bothering her? Because she gets louder and louder and screams. And even you have Andrea Tintero saying practically the same thing. But I think that women from, both sides of the aisle, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, should stand behind Hillary Rodham Clinton. Just because of these sexist attacks that have been made.
Well, I think we stand behind her because I think she'd make an excellent president. That's why we stand behind her, notwithstanding the attack. Not because of the attacks. I mean, I'm sure that, there have been sexist attacks made against Carly Fiorina. That's not a reason to support Carly Fiorina. She'd make a terrible president. The reason you support Hillary Clinton is that notwithstanding the attacks, she would make an excellent president. And you raise a really good point, Reggie. You talked about when Donald Trump complained on some morning show or something that Hillary Clinton was screaming because she said, deal me in, which I thought was a really good line. And she had to talk loudly to be heard over the din of her cheering supporters. And I'm like, Howard Dean or frankly, Donald Trump is a bit of a screamer. Politicians, I have a loud voice myself. One could argue I'm a bit of a screamer. Most people in politics, most public speakers tend to have loud voices. And, in a rally, if you say, we're going to fight and we're going to win, you don't say, we're going to fight and we're going to win. Well, I'll tell you, he speaks like that. Ben Carson speaks like that, but I don't think he seems very presidential. Vast majority of presidential contenders tend to have a loud voice, and I think that's fine.
Yeah, but why is there such a double standard when he does it, but when she does it, they jump all over her, but they don't jump all over him when he does it?
Well, that's exactly my point, and I would hope the media would focus on the fact that he's a screamer. Or would focus, let's focus on Trump's marital infidelities. I mean, I don't think it's fair for anyone, but it's unfair certainly to apply it to one and not to apply it to the other. I mean, I think there's three separate women. He marries a model and then she gets old and then he divorces and marries another model. And, it's just, then cheats on them. I mean, Donald Trump has got quite a long history that I don't have time to go into. There's a New York Daily News article that goes into all of his history, and it's hardly ever brought up.
Right. And don't they all have kids by him? All three of them. He's been married three times. Don't they all have kids by him?
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. I guess I don't care. I guess I should care because other people care. I just think he'd make a lousy president. I think that's what we have to focus on. He would be a lousy, racist, xenophobic president. So I don't just love Hillary. I hate the Donald. I think he's fine as a reality show guy, not as a presidential candidate. Thanks for your call, Reggie. Thank you, everyone, for your calls. This is Mark Levine. I will talk to you again this Monday.